We'll get numerical in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Mid-South studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this numerical challenge. Listening to this 2016 Dayton Hamvention presentation might test both your listening skills and attention span. It's some how-tos for setting up a Sirius CWHFDXing station by a young man by the name of William Ferguson, KJ4EYZ. William became a licensed ham at age 7 in 2008. A year later, William became one of the youngest hams in the world to earn his DXCC Work 100 Countries award. A few years later, he won the 2015 Youth Plaque from the Virginia CUSO Party, sponsored by K4AMG. During the Saturn Forum at the 2016 Hamvention, this DX mathematician talked about what's involved in setting up a DX ham station.
Good morning, and as you know, my name is William Ferguson, and my call sign is KJ4AYZ. I have been DXing since the age of 7, and I'd also like to thank you for giving me this opportunity to present to you. So, DXing is kind of like fishing. When you go fishing, you cast your line, and you slowly retrieve your lure, hoping to get a nibble or a bite. Sometimes you cast, and you get nothing. Sometimes the person next to you is catching fish, cast after cast. What do? You evaluate your tackle and improve on technique. So let's get to some background. The ham radio operator station in the 1950s consisted of a crystal-controlled transmitter and a receiver, along with a simple antenna. The SOP, or standard operating procedure, for chasing or working DX was as followed. First, make sure your crystal frequency was not occupied, and then to start calling CQ. With your receiver, you would tune around your transmitting frequency and listen if any station was answering your call. The operators who achieved the DXC back then truly did it the hard way. So let's fast forward to today. The most simple ham radio setup consists of a HF radio, a length of coax, and a broadband antenna. Basic setup. The basic setup can provide years of enjoyment and a pile of QSL cards. The key factor of catching the rare DX is to listen. The operator should be courteous and have great sportsmanship, but for those who enjoy the technical aspect of their station, like myself, the following brief will describe certain methods to improve your success through station optimization and knowledge, but in order to improve on something, one must baseline or quantify their existing station. Baselining your current system. In order to baseline your system, you will need to work with all the same units. Since loss and gains of system components are usually given in dB, we will be using dBW or decibel watts. This will allow us to add and subtract system gains and losses much easier. So, with the decibel unit. A dB is a unit of measurement which has to be referenced to something for meaning. dBW, or decibel watt, is a unit of power in decibel scale, referenced to 1 watt. Quantifying your basic setup. We all started with a basic radio system. Let's quantify a baseline system using an ICOM 756 Pro, 200 feet of RG8X coax, and an OCF Windom antenna. The typical radio output is approximately 100 watts, which is equivalent to 20 decibel watts. The radio's receiver specifications are the most important. The most important specification is the receiver's dynamic range. This is how well the receiver works when a nearby transmitter is close to your RX frequency or receiving frequency. The greater the dynamic range, the better the receiver will work a split operation DX station. Coaxial cable. In coaxial cable, the higher operating frequency, the greater the loss. Table 1 lists loss for traditional ham radio cables. Popular coaxial cables are the RG8X and the RG213. Note, these losses are only valid to 1-to-1 VSWR voltage standing wave ratios. If the VSWR of the antenna is not 1-to-1, loss will increase. To calculate the loss with your VSWR, there are numerous websites to do dB loss calculators on them. The OCF Windom antenna. Pros. Multiband antenna. Fast install. Cons. Requires use of antenna tuner, and antenna radiation pattern is dependent on installation. For analysis purposes, let's assume it has a gain of a half a wave dipole antenna, 0 dB, 2.12 dBi plus 5 dBi ground gain. The max directive gain, 5 dBd, 7.12 dBi, and its front-to-back ratio is close to approximately 0 dB. The plot on the left is a typical VSWR plot of an off-center fed dipole antenna, or OCF. Front-to-back ratio is the ratio of front-to-back gain. For me, it is the most important aspect of the antenna. This is because the antenna reduces the noise from other directions and allows me to hear the DX station better. Alright, our baseline performance system at 10 meters. So for the transceiver, the ICOM 756 Pro, its output power is 20 dBW, and its receiving dynamic range at 2 kHz is 71 dB. For the coax, RG8X coax at 200 feet, its loss at 28 MHz is 3.148 dB. And for the Wyndham OCF antenna, its gain at 7.12 dBi, including the ground gain, and has a front-to-back ratio of approximately 0 dB. Its effective isotropic radiated power, or IRP, with all the losses and gains in the equation, will turn out to be 23.94 dBW. And if you use the aforementioned formula, you can turn that into 247.7 watts. This is assuming that there is no antenna tuner loss, VSWR additional cable loss, and antenna gain assumption. So how do we improve system performance? We choose a radio with better dynamic range. Here are some examples of radios which are in the top of their class for dynamic range. The Flex 7600 at 108 dB, followed by the Elecraft K3S at 106 dB, the ICOM 7850 LE at 105 dB, and the Yaesu FT5000 at 101 dB. A transceiver's receiver section should have a minimum of 80 dB for CW and 70 dB for SSB. Replace inefficient coax cable. Beware of some of the RG8X coax, since it only has a 60% shield. This could cause unwanted RFI, or radio frequency interference. Replace long coax runs with hardline. Surplus hardline can sometimes be found cheaper than traditional coax. Some hardline can be assembled with ordinary hand tools such as a hacksaw, file, and wrenches. As you see to the left, here, the left photo, here are four different styles of coaxial cable. Notice the difference between the braids and the airspace, as this has much more air gap compared to these coaxial cables, and how this is hardline.
You're listening to the mathematical wizardry of high school ham William Ferguson, KJ4EYZ, a serious CWDXer who spoke during the Saturn Forum at the 2016 Dayton Hamvention. We'll boggle your mind with more numbers in a moment. The Rain Report can be found on therainreport.com, on Twitter at The Rain Report, and in the bowels of iTunes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Antenna improvements for high bands. For the high bands, 10 to 20 meters, 30 to 40 meters, use directional antennas. Choose the antenna that has the greatest front-to-back ratio rather than just forward gain. The front-to-back on the OptiBeam approaches 25 dB. The stepper DB36 has a front-to-back ratio, which varies from 11 to 27 dB, which is band-dependent. For low-band transmit antennas, use a vertical antenna. The radiation pattern is great for low takeoff angles and is great for DX. The picture on the left is a picture of my 80-160 monopole antenna. The picture on the right is a typical radiation pattern of a monopole antenna. Note, antenna gain is greatest at the lower takeoff levels. Low-band receive antennas. Use a separate receive antenna for the low bands. Beveridge antennas, K9A loop antennas, 4-square antenna arrays, 8-square circle arrays are just examples. The receive antenna will provide some front-to-back ratio, allowing you to hear certain signals from certain directions while reducing the noise in other directions. The picture on the top is a picture of one of my 1,000-foot beveridges for northeast and southwest reception. The picture on the bottom is my 4-square for 80 through 160 meters. RF power amplifiers. For chasing DX, I prefer a solid-state no-tune amplifier. This amp tracks the radio's frequency automatically, and it also reduces the number of stations tuning up on the DX. Additionally, it is instant on, which means no warm-up. And here is two pictures of me building and testing a legal limit HF to 6 meters amplifier. Going from 100 watts to 1500 watts will add 11.76 dB gain to system performance. Since the S unit is 6 dB, we will be adding two S units to our transmit signal. I built my current 160 meter through 6 meter legal limit amplifier using parts provided by W6PQL. My current system analysis. So for my transceiver, the ICOM 7850LE, its dynamic range at 2 kHz is 105 dB. For my amplifier, including the transceiver, 1500 watts, which is 31.76 dBW. For the coaxial loss, 100 foot of LDF5, which is hardline, plus 100 foot of LMR600UH, which is ultraflex. If you add their losses together, it is negative 0.695 dB. For the antenna gain for the OptiBeam 18-6, its antenna gain is 15.6 dBi, including the ground gain, and its front-to-back ratio is 25 dB. So its effective isotropic radiated power, with all the gains and losses added together, is 46.665 dBW, or 46.4 kW EIRP. So in summary, dynamic range improvement is 34 dB, its front-to-back improvement is 25 dB, and its transmitting power improvement is 22.6 dB. So now we have optimized the station's hardware. Where do we go next? Software and information. DX clusters. DX clusters show us where possible DX stations are operating. This can help us find that rare DX needed station. There are many DX clusters, and some of them have a software logging programs, have a built-in function to view them. These clusters get its information from other hams along with skimming programs. A word of caution is that information on the cluster is not always correct. For example, split frequency not given, somebody logged the wrong call sign, or the DX station is working in only a specific zone or area. So it is advisable to listen with your own ears to confirm that it is the DX station. Research upcoming DX expeditions. Keep current with upcoming events by reading QST, looking at DX World website, and N3GK. Run propagation forecasts. So run propagation forecasts to determine the best time of day to operate or to communicate with the DX. The chart on the left was ran to determine what time of day and what band to use for my station to communicate with Macau. The right chart is a VOA cap online. To read a propagation, you would look, well, it looks like it's cut off. So if I wanted to work Macau on 20 meters, look for the darker color, and it would be advisable to work Macau right before 1500 Zulu time. Same concept goes with the VOA cap map. Use a CW skimmer to find split DX. How many times have you heard the DX station is listening 5 to 30 kilohertz or more? How many CWs can fit in a 25 kilohertz spectrum? If you assume that the average width of CW signal is 100 hertz, CW is a variable length code, then the answer would be 250 signals. I used a CW skimmer to find out the DX station's operating characteristics. Is the DX operator working the pile up by moving up or moving down? Is the station just listening to a particular frequency or just randomly moving around to find the loudest signal? Looking at the CW skimmer display, I can determine the operating characteristics of the DX operator. This gives me a good starting point of where I should start transmitting. So, how do we improve our chances of working DX? The most important improvement you can do for your DX station is to... Your ears are your best tool for working DX. Listen. So, your ears are the best tool for working DX. Look at QST and other sites for upcoming DX expeditions. Use propagation software to calculate the best time to catch DX expeditions. Use clusters to find DX. Choose antennas for 40 through 10 meters based on front-to-back ratio, not just gain. Vertical transmit antennas for low bands. Use separate receive antennas for low bands. Choose coax with lower loss. Replace the radio with better dynamic range. Use an amplifier to increase output power. Use a CW skimming software to find the split. And most importantly, have fun.
You've been listening to the fast-talking William Ferguson, KJ4EYZ. William was first licensed as a ham at age 7 in 2008. In 2009, William became one of the youngest hams in the world to earn his DXCC Work 100 Countries Award. Recently, he won the 2015 Youth Plaque from the Virginia CUSO Party. We brought you an excerpt from this DX mathematician's talk about setting up a CW-DX ham station, given during the Saturn Forum at the 2016 Dayton Hamvention. If you're going to check out the 2017 Hamvention, May 19th through the 21st, in its new Xenia, Ohio home at the Greene County Fairground and Exposition Center, drop by booth 6603 and say howdy to RAIN founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2017 RAIN. All rights are reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and buried somewhere in iTunes. Keep on hamming!